I studied that. I took all those courses, but I don't live there. I don't do that all the time. And so the basics that I should know, I've forgotten because I haven't rehearsed them. That's exactly the way it is spiritually.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Jobe. Great to be with you again on Straight Talk. Some of you have been asking about our teaching series. Typically when I teach, I do a series of 4 to 8, 9, 10 messages, and we make those available in a cover with all the CDs, the full length of the message. So if you want to order the entire series that you hear on this radio program, then you can go to our website, www.straighttalkchicago.org, and email us ordering the series, or you can always call our telephone number at 773-585-3300. And ask for the entire series. Typically, we give the name of the series at the beginning of the message and the message title as well. That way you can listen to the entire series uninterrupted and get the full scope of that teaching. So get ready to listen and hear the word with open hearts.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We continue on with Pastor Mark's current series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God. And today is part two. His message is called, Can I Really Trust the Bible? We'll be in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. Here's Pastor Mark.
We are looking at verses 12 through 21 as we talk about bullseye living, how to live on target with God and how to stay on target with God. You know, Peter's the guy that he was a fisherman. And he wasn't an educated man, but he was a hardworking man. He was a lover of God. He was impulsive. Peter had these moments of incredible revelation. And then he had these moments of incredible failure. You got to love the man. And he's writing this book of 2 Peter. He's already getting a little old while he's writing this book. And he knows that he only has a short time to live. He indicates in verses 12 through 14 that he knows that his time is short. And so it's kind of his final reminders to people, telling them, these are the words I want you to remember. I don't want you to forget these things. I want you to make it. And so, you know, as we get older, we value memory more, but our memory starts slipping more. How about it? You value your memories more, but your memory slips a little bit more than it used to. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you feel like your memory has been slipping lately, but last year it was, I believe it was, I was driving my car and I was on my cell phone. And I got out of the car, and I realized I locked my keys in my car. Like, oh, no. So I had to call my wife. She had to drive wherever she was at, come, give me her keys, open the car. I thought, how could I do that? How could I forget my keys in the car? And then about a week later, it happened again. Like, hi, honey. Barnes & Noble's parking lot, and you mind dropping over here? Why? No, I just want to see you. Have a cup of coffee. And it happened again, and my wife was saying, what is up with this? And in a period of maybe 2 months, I locked myself out of the car. Must have been 4 times, and I was saying, Lord, my memory is going. My mind is shot. It's happening earlier than what I thought it was. Thank God I broke out of that rhythm. And you know what I noticed? I figured out the problem. The problem was that typically when you leave your key in the ignition and you turn off the car and you open the door, there's a little reminder, right? A little beeper that ding, 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 ding. And then you say, ah, what am I forgetting? And you look and you realize it's the key. Well, my little ding, ding, ding had stopped working. And so, because the little ding, ding, ding wasn't working, I was forgetting. Because it was a reminder of something that was so basic. I mean, where do you learn that in driver's ed? Don't leave the key in the ignition, take it out when you leave. I mean, that's so basic, you should know that. But here's the thing. unless we remind ourselves the basics often, we have a tendency to forget them. Unless we rehearse the basics often, we have a natural tendency to forget them. So Peter starts in chapter 12, in verse 12 of chapter 1, and he says this. He says, "So I will always remind you of the things, always remind you of the these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have." Peter is saying, I know you know them. I know you think these are basic things. You say, why are we talking about this again? I already know these things. Peter says, he's older. He knows he has a short time to live. He says, I'm going to remind you, because unless I remind you, your memory will start to fade. I know I'm forgetting the basics when I have to try to help my children, my 9-year-old who's in third grade with his math. And I'm looking at his homework, now in third grade, dealing with fractions and stuff, and I'm like having to scratch my head, okay, I know this is basic math, but by the time they get to high school, forget about it. I mean, I know that. I went to college. I studied that. I took all those courses, but I don't live there. I don't do that all the time. And so the basics that I should know, I've forgotten because I haven't rehearsed them. And Peter's saying that's exactly the way it is spiritually. He says, I'm reminding you of the things that you already know that are foundational. You've been firmly established in the truth that you now have. Look at verse 13. I think it is right to refresh your memory. I love that word, refresh. Refresh means that you make it new again. Something that's grown old, you kind of wipe the slate, start over again. Make sure that it's clear, it's fresh, it's not old, it's not stale. And he says, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. Because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus has made it clear to me. I love that Paul refers to his body as a tent, right? Why would Paul refer to his body as a tent? A tent is a temporary dwelling place. I mean, you don't put a patio in front of your tent, right? No, tents are made to sleep in for a night or two unless you're in a refugee camp. And then you get rid of the tent. People don't move their grand piano into their tent. You don't put plumbing in your tent because you're only going to be there a short time. And so it's temporary. And Paul refers to his body as the tent. He said, I love how he said, I'm going to put this tent away. Peter refers to his body as the tent. I'm going to put this tent away soon. I'm going to bury this tent. He's referring to, I'm going to get rid of this. He knows that his soul and his spirit are permanent, but that his body, his tent, is just temporary, and it houses the spiritual. And he says, because I know I'm going to soon put it away, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. Now, Peter was older, but do you remember that Jesus had given a prophecy to Peter when Peter was looking at John, and Jesus said to Peter, when you're older, you're going to be arrested and you're going to be taken to places where you don't want to go, and you're going to be led down this road. And Peter said, well, what about him? And Jesus said, don't worry about him, I'm talking to you. And this, it says, and this he said to the manner of which he would be put to death, or how Peter would be put to death. So Jesus had predicted that at one time Peter would be arrested and ultimately put to death. So Peter had this sense that my life is coming to an end. Persecution is starting up. He was an old man ready to give some of his greatest advice. And he's refreshing the memory of the people. It's his last letter that he would ever write. And he's telling them, I really want you to remember these things are really important for you to grasp. And he says, I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Now, a few years ago, my grandmother was about 88 years old, I believe she was. She was an awesome woman, a godly woman. She would pray for me on a regular basis. She had a lot of energy, a lot of spark in her life, even into her 80s. Just a woman of a lot of courage and bright in her mind. Had been through a lot, lived through a lot, but always kept a real positive attitude. And a few years ago, she passed away. But before she passed away, I wanted to capture some of her stories. I wanted to make sure that some of the stories of her life and her spiritual adventures and the wisdom of lessons that she had learned over time, that they would not disappear with her generation. So I grabbed a video camera and we drove 5 hours out to Iowa where she was living. And we spent a couple days there. And I said, "Grandma, I just want you to tell me your stories. Just tell me your stories." And she says, "Well, I'm not sure, you know, where I would start. I'm not sure I have much to say." That's what she said. Once I got her started down memory lane and pulled out photos, I mean, she was going on and on. And finally, I had to say, "Grandma, we run out of videotape. You know, we're done here. We have hours and hours here." But it was an awesome experience to listen. And I have it on tape. I'm going to put it on some DVD form. And I want to hand it down to my children because I want them to remember the stories. I want them to be reminded of some of their past, of some of their history. I want them to remember what their lineage is. And Peter's saying the same thing, because what happens in our life is oftentimes we forget our spiritual journey. We start to forget what God has done in our life. We start to forget where we came from. We start to forget the basics of our life. Now, I want you to write this down if you're taking notes this morning. Just write this principle down. You will need to be intentional. If you're going to keep your ground, stay your ground, if you're going to stay fresh in God, you will need to be intentional at keeping your spiritual memory fresh so you don't forget what's important. So you don't forget what's important.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called "Can I Really Trust the Bible?" which is from our series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1.
I started thinking for a moment, what causes us to forget things spiritually? Why do we forget? Well, what causes us to begin to lose our memory spiritually and allow those God experiences, those things that we've known so powerfully, so sure at one time, how they get fuzzy in our mind? I read in Deuteronomy and what happened to the people of Israel. And one of the things that it struck me, I listed a couple of things. This may surprise you, but I believe that one of the things that causes us to forget if we're not careful is success, materialism, and prosperity. You see, the people of Israel had been slaves for many years. They had struggled. They had fought. They had called out to God. They had lived in the desert. And then finally God had taken them into the promised land where they now were going to be in houses. Their level of living had improved. They were climbing the ladder of success. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 10 through 11, God is warning them about the success in their life. And he says, "When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses that are filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. You see, what happens when our life starts progressing? When we're not living now from paycheck to paycheck as much. Well, you have a little bit in the bank, and now you're not wondering where you're going to, how you're going to pay next month's rent. And your car now has all tires that match, and you're a little bit more stable in life. What happens is that we start forgetting. We start forgetting where we came from. We start forgetting how much we called out to God. There's something about need that causes us to go to God on a regular basis. Amen. I think about the times where you have most desperately sought after God, where you've been more passionate about seeking after God, where people didn't have to tell you to pray, but you were on your knees. And I would venture to say that it were times that you were experiencing a major crisis in your life and really needed the hand of God. But you see, our kids get out of intensive care. You get over that almost jail sentence that you were in. Your wife comes back and says, okay, I'm not going to leave you. And then life gets back to normal, and oftentimes what happens is that we begin to get blurred in our memory about the things that God has done. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, it says, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget what your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart all the days of your life. You see, what happened with the people of Israel is that when they were in crisis, they would get into some major crisis and they would realize how bad off their life was, and they'd call out to God, and God would finally deliver them, get them on the right road, and after walking on the right road for a while, they would soon begin to do their own thing, and they would forget the ways of God, and they would start leaving God's things aside until they hit another crisis, and then they would look up again. Boy, does that sound like some of our lives. I can't tell you how spiritual guys that I've talked to when they were out of prison before, how spiritual they get once they're in prison. I couldn't talk to them at all. They barely gave me a little chance before. Once they're in prison, I'm getting all these Pastor Mark. I'm praying for you. I'm in the Bible every day. I'm in chapel. Can't wait to get out. Because something about a crisis that makes us more spiritual. Now, of course, I've learned over the years that sometimes when those guys get out, it's hard to toe the line. Now, some of them do. But once they get out, the crisis is over. Life is there. All the temptations there are there. It's really hard. It's really hard to maintain that spiritual walk. So Peter is saying, don't forget. I want you to remember. The other thing that happens, I think, that causes us to forget is hardness of heart. We can let our hearts start to get hard and forget what God has done in our life. Or the pressures around us to conform to our society. Or the failure to rehearse the important things that God has done in our life. We start to forget our story. Hey, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you sat down and told someone your spiritual story? Let me ask you another question. Those of you that are parents, do your kids know your spiritual story? Because they need to hear your story. They need to understand what God has done in your life. And there's something about going down memory lane and looking at what God has done and seeing the miracles of God and the liberation of God and the touches of God. There's something about going back to the basics, There's something about going back to our salvation and going back to the things that God has done. There's something about keeping our memory fresh that causes us to stay on course and stay on target. So we need to keep a fresh memory so that we do not forget the things that God has done. Number two, talking about keeping our ground here. Number two, you need to retell the stories of your important God encounters and the lessons that you've learned. Peter goes on and he says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths." The word myth there can also be translated fables. In the Greek word is mythos. And so Peter is saying, listen, we're not following fairy tales or fables in our pursuit of God. This is much more than cleverly engineered fairy tales. And he goes on to explain. He says, when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice, born from heaven, for we were with him on that holy mountain." The second thing is this. You need to retell the stories of the important God encounters in your life that you have learned. You see, I believe that all of us have had God encounters. You say, well, Pastor, I don't remember any. You see, I believe that God is active in all of our lives. Every single one of our lives, God is active in. And that, now, you may not remember God being there, but he always has been there. And you may not remember hearing God, but he's always spoken to you. And you may not remember the hand of God on your life, but I can guarantee you God's hand has always been there. When you haven't listened to God, he was speaking. When you haven't reached out to God, he was there. You see, God has always been part of your journey. Sometimes you've ignored God and acted like he wasn't there. But God is part of everybody's story here. No one has a story in this auditorium that does not include God, because God has always been a part of everybody's story here. Everybody. Some of you think, wow, I was really lucky that in that car accident, it flipped over, I didn't die. Lucky, you want to say? God has always been involved. Yeah. Oh, I was really lucky that I found this flyer in the mail. And it kind of led me in. Wow, I ended up here. No, 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 not lucky. God was always in the process. You see, we all have a God story. We have a life story, and God intertwines himself in our life story. And what needs to happen is that we need to remember the God encounters in our story and rehearse the God encounters in our story. Let me tell you why. Because sometimes it's those God encounters and those experiences with God that we know are so powerful, are so profound, that in our moments of crisis, in our moments of dark valley, it's those very God encounters that we can reach out to and know, I know without a shadow of a doubt, God was there and he spoke to me, and it's undeniable. And when I don't know anything else, I know that God, it was God. Some of you have had experiences so powerful, so profound, so life-altering with God, that is those times that you go back to, and you know it was God.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Job and a message entitled, Can I Really Trust the Bible? Which is from our current series called Bullseye Living, Staying on Target with God.
As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.